not preventing the injury. The injury you need to look at is like, right, let's put a strategy in place. So, you know, for instance, if you just said, right, as a club, we're going to try and reduce our hamstring injuries over the next 3 to 5 years. How are we going to do it? All right, well, let's look at the research. So what we know from the research is age. So anyone 27 and above has got some tendon issues, right? If you've had a previous hamstring injury, you know you're about a third of a risk to re-injure that hamstring. Eccentric workouts regularly, and I mean regularly, we know that that can prevent hamstring injuries. The science and the research, huge research projects of thousands of different athletes, we know that that will do it. But the problem is no one consistently does this. They might have an idea and put it in for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks and then go, oh, we just haven't got time. We're in season now. Oh, excuse. There's no structure to it. Neural tension, something that's not looked at enough by athletic trainers, physios. Hugely important for neural dynamics and firing of the nerve to the hamstring. Glute pelvic control. Can you control your pelvis and mobilize your hip at speed? Can you rotate your hip? Can you abduct your hip without your pelvis dropping? Looking at basically anterior slings, posterior slings, lateral slings. Can you stabilize to allow the optimum movement of that joint? That's far more important than acute chronic bloody work ratios. Because now you're putting a structure and a strategy in place to have an effect. And then you can use the data to monitor whether that what you've put into place is actually working or not. But it just doesn't happen. And I scratch my head thinking, I don't understand why we're so hipped up on numbers or ratios or you know, looking at periodizations of training. And in fact, we might even be going the other way, where we're actually not being as robust to develop the athletes. We're actually detraining them. We're actually wrapping them up in more cotton wool, and hence why we're getting more injuries. And when I talk about injuries, I'm talking about injuries you're trying to prevent. Soft tissue work, calf, Achilles, patellar tendons, all the things that you would know could be at risk factors, balance, control, proprioception. For me as a practitioner now on the other side of the fence, I'm dumbfounded by it. And everyone goes then on about, as we know, right? We do some ourselves. We talk about AI technology and we can look at this and we can look at that. It's all smoke. Because if there was a golden chalice out there, everyone would be doing it and our injury rates across all of our sports around the world would be being reduced. What do you think?
Well, you know, you've hit on a lot of great points, and I feel like we've bought in as an industry into like the silver bullet mentality, like you said, you know, the acute to chronic work ratios, the, you know, the Nord board and the Nordics, you know, they have a place in sports performance, but doing it in isolation isn't the answer. Like, you're not going to reduce hamstrings by just doing Nordics and
There's no evidence out there to suggest that looking at asymmetry and reducing it by, you know, bringing it to 10% difference left to right, there's no suggestion that that has any bearing on reducing hamstring injuries. And then also you could argue, right, the hamstring covers two joints. So when you're doing an eccentric exercise or testing of the Nord board, you've got three hamstrings, remember. You could be emphasizing more one than the other. Your knee tibia will internally and externally rotate. So therefore, there might be more when you're running or cutting or moving in position, you might put more emphasis on one of those tendons than the other. So perhaps you should be doing the testing with internal rotation in neutral and external rotation. But also, it's not the whole picture. You're not measuring neural dynamics in any of that. And at the end of the day, if the nerve is restricted, right, it doesn't matter how strong that muscle is. If the nerve is restricted, that the neural pathway to those muscles is restricted, it's going to have an effect on as you want to fire to it to get it to work.
Well, I think, you know, the issue that is also is that what you're been discussing here and what you've laid out is that there's not enough people that know this in the industry. Like when I was coming through the industry, I was taught to be a jack of all trades, to understand strength and conditioning, and to understand, you know, your periodization, your load monitoring, if you will, you know, your rehabilitation, all that sort of stuff. And we've become very specialized where you're hiring just, you know, data scientists or just strength coaches, not strength and conditioning coaches, or, you know, athletic trainers or physios that are just specializing one area of the body, whether it be hamstrings or maybe Achilles. And that's where I think we're missing. We need to go back to being that jack of all trade, to have strength coaches understand, you know, what the medical guys are doing, have the medical guys understand what the strength and conditioning coaches are doing, have the sports scientists not just think that sports science is just collecting a shit ton of data and not really contextualizing it, right? And I think that's what's happening, and we're leading into an era of like just piling on and collecting more data, and basically it's like we're doing all this work for the sake of doing it so people look at us and go, wow, look how much work you're doing, and there's nothing really actionable about it, you know what I mean? So like, where do you feel the tipping point is going to be in having to change the entire mindset of the industry? Because ultimately the reason why these types of people are educated in a certain way or being hired in a certain position is because the powers that be, you know, the general managers or the CEOs, they don't really understand what we do on the ground floor. So you might get a poor hire that results in, you know, X, Y, and Z within a sports performance department, where it'd be, you know, players that aren't fit enough, strong enough, fast enough. There's too many injuries. And it's not so much the practitioner that's been brought in to deal with that. It's not their fault. They're always going to jump at a particular logo hiring them or a particular opportunity to, you know, get money to provide for their family. It's the people up the top that are hiring these people that maybe not be equipped to understand what you're talking about, right? So where do you feel like there will be a tipping point, and where do you feel that we need to go in order to have a sort of overhaul in the industry to look at the perspective that you're talking about?
I think everyone needs to sort of do cross-pollination, right? Spend time with other practitioners, talk openly, collectively as groups. And I think a lot of teams do that more now. I think that's actually got better. You know, incorporating the multidisciplinary approach, which includes a strength and conditioning and a sports scientist. And, you know, that collaboration can massively help. But I also think that you shouldn't be afraid to sort of talk. And I think a lot of people, especially the higher up you go, you know, they're afraid of obviously losing their jobs. They love having the badge, love having the title, and they won't really, you know, push the boundaries. And I think what you need is you need more of those mavericks. I think you need more of those people challenging, you know, the norm. And I think you need people thinking laterally. And I think the teams that are successful just generally have some more of those mavericks. It might not be in our departments. It might be further up in scouting or recruitment or coaching. But every coach I've worked for who has been super successful, whether that's Phil Jackson or, sorry, Jose Mourinho, you know, they're mavericks and they win. And the same, for instance, with presidents or GMs, you know, they're successful because they bring good people around them. And again, it's all about people. They are pushing the envelope. And I do think that some people at the very top, like people who run the leagues, people who are, you know, on committees and part of a team, but also on the league committees, I think they got to start asking those questions and seeing how they can influence and change that. And I think they have to have mavericks within those committees.
Where do you see the industry going? Do you feel like we're going to continue down this path of, you know, the chaos of just, you know, the continual refiring of multiple staff and having the instability or multiple sports performance, and then that will snowball into more greater injury tolls? Like, where do you see it all heading?
Well, I think what's happening in the industry now is that most of the, you know, athletes at pro level anyway, you know, they've got the finances now because the money's so big compared to what it was 20, 30 years ago when I first started, that they can hire their own people. And then what the problem they've got on the other side of the fence is that these people are having to obviously try and liaise and control, or, you know, at least have some sort of communication with the athlete's own personal physios, trainers, whatever else it would be. And the more of that that happens, then teams, you know, GMs and owners will start realizing that actually maybe there's people outside that are working with these athletes that may be doing something better than what the people are within the actual room. And I think what there should be is a, like a collaboration of those people outside. And I think that might tip it, because, you know, unless the person inside the room of the organization realizes that, you know, there's something being done good else outside, and the athlete's telling them that this person I'm working with is doing something good, then there's something that they could implement in. And whether that's an individual like Tom Brady's guy or whoever it would be, right? You know, that's the sort of thing that I think would try and influence. And I think also organizations and colleges and even high schools, they should invest in outside education coming in. And they should bring in some of those people in different areas to be educated across strength and conditioning, sleep, nutrition, injury prevention, screening. I don't think there's enough emphasis put on injury prevention. And I personally think that that should be at the top of anyone's shopping list.